Anyway, Alan, we have waiting in the wings the lovely Virginia Martin.
Oh, good.
There she is. I'm waving to her right now. You want to come in, Virginia? Come on in. Is she putting on makeup? Tell her we're not visual. Oh, no, she's getting out a card. But Virginia Martin's going to hear who is in the Democratic representative on the Board of Elections. Let me get her exact title when she comes in. Ellen! Virginia, what's your exact title again? Democratic Election Commissioner. That's the word. Democratic Election Commissioner. Each party has a commissioner. And I think when major decisions are made, both of them have to agree on it. You want to put your headphones on? You'll hear what I'm saying and everybody else too. When you're handing out your business card out there, I thought you were putting on makeup, and I thought, does she realize we're not TV, we're a radio station?
I just got my hair done.
Oh, okay. Well, it's looking lovely as always.
Thank you.
Yours too, Ellen.
Oh, thank you, Tom.
Oh, you know, indeed. I love you.
And yours is wonderful.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yeah. But as always, I love your color palette. You know that.
Yeah, but I don't have the matching.
Oh, wait. Did you guys, like, talk together today? The whole turtleneck and cardigan look?
No.
No?
We did not.
You didn't get the memo.
No, I didn't.
Right?
I go for the more manly flannel shirt and fleece vest look.
And vest.
Okay.
Enough of that. Okay, Ellen. Why is she here?
Well... we'll see.
I'm sorry. Why is Virginia here?
Anything we want to talk to Virginia about, I guess. No, I've been watching President Trump on television, continuing to say there was voter fraud in the last general election because he can't get over the fact, apparently, that he did not win the popular vote. That he won the Electoral College vote, but not the popular vote. And his ego cannot stand, it would seem, the fact that Hillary Clinton had more votes than he had.
Well, I'd be upset with that, too.
Well, but would you...
I mean, if Hillary Clinton had more votes than me. not that...
All right.
No, that's just a little Hillary dig. I'm sorry,
okay,
Alan.
So, anyway, I was talking with Virginia about it, and one of the congressmen said something about we should have paper ballots. And I...
Bless him.
I did talk to Virginia about it a little bit, and she said that's a different argument or battle than voter fraud. The machine is not what causes voter fraud, is the way I understood it.
Yeah, there are two different terms here. One is voter fraud, one is election fraud. Mm-hmm. And what President Trump is talking about, voter fraud, is when, in theory, because it doesn't happen very often, it happens so incredibly rarely that you can almost not count the number of times that it happens. Voter fraud is when somebody votes twice. And they do it on purpose. You know, they vote in one state and then they go across state lines and vote in another state, or they vote in two different counties or something like mm-hmm. that. And it just hardly ever happens. And I have never seen a report that says that it does happen frequently.
Or I would think under that category also dead people.
Right, dead people voting. I was listening to a report on NPR this morning where somebody was saying, you know, the supposed incidents of dead people voting are really just mistakes where there are two people with the same name on the voter rolls. There's a senior and there's a junior, and junior shows up to vote, and senior has died, and senior has not yet been taken off the voter rolls, and junior signs in senior's place by mistake, but doesn't vote twice, votes once.
That's a good question, because, you know, in my own ill-fated effort to attain political office, I got the voter lists mm-hmm. that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, looking through it, I saw names of people who had moved, a couple of people who had even died. But that's not really dispositive of who actually votes, right? I mean,
right.
That name could be there for years. Well, when does it get taken off, for example? How does it get taken off?
A voter who has died gets taken off when the Board of Elections has clear evidence, official evidence, that the person has died. We've read an obituary in the newspaper, for example, or there's been a story in the paper, or we've received a copy of a death certificate. Mm-hmm. We can't take a voter off just because the daughter says my dad died, unfortunately. And so that's the reason, and it's too bad, that some people do, some people's names stay on the voter rolls longer than we'd like them to. What we would like is for everybody to come off as soon as they're deceased, and that's what we aim for, but we can't just do it on hearsay. We have to have something official, and that's a good thing. That's a protection.
Right. Now, what about people who have moved? How do you deal with them re-registering somewhere else? Does that... is that sent to you? Well, let's say someone moves from Hudson to, I don't know, wherever. When they move to their new place and register, are you contacted by the new place to take them off?
In New York State, we certainly are. We have a really robust process here in New York State whereby we get notified every 24 hours of any duplicate voters that we have. Whenever we have somebody on our rolls and somebody who's on our rolls goes to register in another New York State county, we get a notice the next day of a duplicate voter. And so we take a look at it, and generally speaking, the voter indeed is a duplicate and has re-registered in another county, and we cancel the voter. And it's a great program. It works very, very well.
They simply may have forgotten that they had to cancel their registration in one place?
Most people do forget that. They don't. Most people don't really think about their registration until it's time to, you know, it's election day, or it's the day before the election day, and they start thinking about it. Oh, am I registered? So when
I never canceled my old one. I just registered.
Well, there
here.
You go.
I just registered here.
Yeah. And you got canceled because of New York State's program.
Yeah, and I haven't gone back there to vote. Right. My other question is, you're the Democratic commissioner. Does every decision, even those decisions, have to be signed off by both the Democratic and the Republican committee commissioner?
Yes, everything has to be done bipartisanly. Now, my counterpart, Jason Naske, who's the Republican commissioner, and I don't get involved in every single process, obviously. We have deputies who do that, and then we have other employees who do that. But they do things bipartisanly. If one of them cancel somebody, then the other one checks it.
Okay,
so there's no way there's a one, bipartisan
right,
check.
No
every
way
single
one
time.
Party could say, "Yeah, I know
right.
they're gone, but I'm going to keep them on there."
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's good. Actually, New York State elections are set up very well, I think.
You keep saying New York State. Are you implying that other states are not doing as well?
I think that's probably the case.
And of course, we know from the Constitution, every state gets to set its own election rules.
Right, and we know,
more or less.
And we know from what happened in the recount states of Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan that they're not nearly as transparent, and they don't have the same kinds of processes that we do in New York State. I think if there had been a recount in New York State, it would have been handled very differently. And certainly it would have been handled very differently in Columbia County. And we don't get requests for recounts because we count everything transparently in front of the public for every election.
Ellen, one of the great ironies about the Trump claiming voter fraud is that his people claim just the opposite when those recounts were called for. They said, why do we need a recount in Michigan? There was no voter fraud.
That's right. And everyone is telling him that there is no voter fraud. But he's not taking that to heart, I guess.
Well, he hears from his friends that there has been.
I can't take that to a logical conclusion. I'm sorry.
What about a hanging chad?
A hanging chad. Well, we don't have hanging chads anymore because with the 2002 Help America Vote Act, punch card systems were prohibited.
For our younger listeners who probably don't remember, that was the situation in the Al Gore, George Bush
Florida
election, where they threw out a bunch of votes because these little pieces of tiny pieces of paper in the punch cards were hanging there and not fully
Didn't
removed.
Fall out. Yeah,
that was too bad. And actually, punch cards did a very good job. They were good. They were paper ballots. They were paper ballots. The 2000 election was marred by, unfortunately, substandard paper quality. You can look at
and poorly written
a report by I think it was Dan Rather that did a report on this, and it's pretty shocking. The paper quality was not the quality that the companies ordinarily would send, making it hard
for the chad to fall.
Chads to fall out. How about that?
There you go,
now that's called election fraud.
Right.
That's called election fraud. That's not voter fraud.
Well, I remember the good old
don't you always
the voting booths when you go in, you pull the curtain closed.
We all do.
You click down the little levers and
yeah.
You say, I just voted. you know, and you pulled the thing back and you had confidence that it was always like, going,
you know,
into the machine.
When you see in those third world countries where they make you like put ink all over your hands and forehead and everywhere else, I think that's a good thing. I voted, you know.
You know, in other countries, people really sacrifice a lot to vote. They spend a lot of time at it.
And are very proud of it.
In other countries, you know, they don't expect to be able to, you know, vote in their pajamas from their living room, you know, where it would take them 30 seconds. It takes a while, and they stand in line, and it may take days for the results to be counted, but that's the way it goes, and it's okay with them.
So here in the lovely city of Hudson, we go in, we put our little circle in a piece of paper, and then the piece of paper gets read by a machine, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, scanned.
Scanned. So you have that scanned total, but then you also check the pieces of paper afterwards?
We do.
To make sure they match up?
We do.
And what's the margin of error there, any? Generally?
You mean what kind of errors have we found? You know what? We have not found any machine errors, and that's a good thing, and that's fine.
So it's reading them properly.
It's reading them properly. But there are votes that are cast that the machine is not programmed to read because it can't be programmed to read every single type of mark that a voter would make.
I see.
But the ballot counters, four of them sitting around a table looking at a ballot, and you'd have two Republicans and two Democrats, will look at that ballot and say, oh, that's a vote. And they'll recognize that maybe the bubble isn't filled in the way a machine would read it, but maybe it's circled instead. Uh-huh. And the machine would not read that as a vote, but our counters do.
Would the machine pick up an X through a little circle?
Might. Yeah.
What about, and then any write-in, I assume, has to be done through the count. I mean, that can't be read, right?
It can be read to the extent that the machine recognizes that there's something written
there.
That write-in row. Gotcha. There's a write-in row that appears on the bottom of every single ballot that you vote. So if you have written something in one of the columns in which there is a race, then the machine's going to pick that up. It's not going to know what you wrote because it can't. Read handwriting, but it's going to segregate those ballots away so that we know to count those separately as write-in ballots.
I'm just wondering, how many write-ins did Ellen get for president this last time? Do you know?
Ellen, didn't you get our letter?
Do you
lost
send letters?
In the mail.
No, we don't, but sometimes we'll give a call and say, Tom, you got to vote for president.
Yeah. I just know because I voted for president.
Gee, thanks, Tom.
You're welcome.
Actually, it does sound familiar.
Well, yesterday on television, several...
Watching a lot of TV lately, huh, Ellen?
Yeah, oh yeah. People from two secretaries of state, I thought it was, but maybe not, from two separate states were on explaining how they check for accuracy with voters. And they check records with... this is the only one I remember. Check records with the Department of Motor Vehicles, who have their own ways of identifying people, which are pretty good, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone is saying that there is no voter fraud. So it's going to be interesting to see how this ends up, I think.
So you made the distinction between voter fraud and election fraud. And we just talked about the voter aspect. What about the election? Election is more what, like ballots disappearing, rigged machines?
Election fraud I would define as something that happens centrally, not by one voter or another voter or another voter. It's something that happens centrally. It could be somebody hacking a machine or a series of machines.
Do most states, or do any states actually link their machines to the internet?
I think some do.
Really?
And even if they don't, many machines are internet capable.
Oh, I see.
And even if they're not internet capable, the machines are all programmed with memory sticks, you know, one way or another. And that's just another way of that the machines can be vulnerable to something, a virus or a bug or a something or other that could be introduced. And it could be introduced maliciously or it could be introduced inadvertently. I mean, one of the things that probably the thing that I worry about most in Columbia County is not hacking, because we count all our ballots. So I think it'd be crazy for anybody to hack our elections. And I go around.
Because the disparity would show up immediately when you started counting, right? Is that what you mean?
Well, it would show up.
Right.
It would show up at some point. Right.
During
it would show
up.
So nobody's going to hack Columbia County's ballots.
Now, some people complain that the results here are too slow because of the hand counting.
I don't know why they say that, because we get results on election night.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we're doing is counting to see if the results are going to be any different.
I see.
And they're rarely very different. But what we do is we either confirm that the results were absolutely correct, or we confirm that the results were off by
a
few votes here and there.
You put out the machine numbers
right
away.
Absolutely. Yeah, the machine numbers are out, before midnight at least.
So it's really just a matter of confirming them, that people are thinking
And also, you know, a hefty percentage of the votes that are cast in Columbia County are absentee votes.
Mm. Oh,
and those
right.
we don't count after a general election for another 13 days because we want to wait for the military ballots to come in. They have 13 days to come in. So we don't have those numbers until then anyway. And by that time, the hand count of all the machine scanned ballots is well over.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to complain about in terms of waiting. I don't know who's complaining. Who's
there you go. You told them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I just made that up.
Do you ever, are there ever instances of someone coming into and impersonating somebody else and saying what their name is incorrectly? They then have to sign the book.
Ellen's referring about the time I tried to pretend I was her and went to vote.
No, I am not. False news. Fake news. That's fake news.
It's amazing. The woman at the desk there just wouldn't believe me. Maybe it's my beard or my Adam's apple. I'm not sure.
It's our wonderful training. I have no knowledge of anything like that ever happening in Columbia County, and I don't know where it would happen. I really don't hear stories about that happening.
Okay, let's
anywhere.
Talk about the one controversy that I do have heard about, and that is this whole process of hand delivering ballots. What is that exactly? How does that work?
Oh, you mean absentee ballots
that are hand delivered?
Yeah, to people in nursing homes and things of that sort.
Well,
by politicians.
Well, New York State law requires that for any nursing home for which we have 25 or more absentee ballots, we have to, by law, send bipartisan election teams there
to monitor, to do the
election. So we'll have a bipartisan team meet with every single customer there, client there.
Is that a new law?
It's newly enforced since I've been commissioner.
Yeah.
I don't know how old the law is, but the board was not doing it before I became commissioner. And I have to give credit to former supervisor Doug McGivney from Kinderhook from saying, you know, you're supposed to be going to these nursing homes and doing this. So I looked up the law and said, sure enough, we are. So we've been doing that.
Does that include, for example, in our community, the fireman's home? Is that considered a nursing home?
It is. Okay. It is. Yeah. So that precludes anybody picking up a ballot for a nursing home patient. They're not allowed to.
Okay.
So we have to deliver those ballots and oversee the voting of those ballots. So that's a good, safe process.
Oh, good.
Now.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
So what about that other category that you just mentioned about picking up ballots? How does that work?
It is legal for a person to pick up a ballot for somebody who's not in a nursing home and take it to them. If the person has applied for an absentee ballot and says, I want it picked up by Tom DiPietro, you know, then we would release the ballot to you.
To deliver to them and then bring back in.
You can bring them back in or they could put it in the mail.
I see. And is there a limit to how many you could?
There's
could
not.
Have?
There's not. It's a little squishy.
Sounds squishy.
Yeah. You know, there was always talk about LBJ, I think, buying votes. You know, paying people to vote. I don't understand how, if someone is not registered to vote, how you could send them in to vote if they're not registered.
Oh, my suspicion was that those people were registered but he just paid them.
Oh, I see. You
like
to make sure they went to the...
You know the old Tammany Hall stories. You vote, you get a little chit that would you get you a beer and a sandwich afterwards and $5.
Uh-huh.
And then you go to another place and get another beer and a sandwich and $5. Those were the days.
You remember those days, Tom?
Oh, yeah. I had a heavy beer addiction and liverwurst sandwiches.
I can't believe
that was the classic. That was the classic sandwich in the old saloons.
You just heard him say he was going to have his golf water out. Now I understand.
Liverwurst with a raw onion. Oh, God.
Oh.
That's what you can always get at McSorley's. I think they still have it.
Well, I wouldn't know. They didn't allow women in McSorley's.
But you and your sisters got them in.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, they did.
I tried. I couldn't get in.
Oh, it's been done since then.
Really?
You know that, of course.
Well, yeah.
You and your friend Gloria.
Well,
anyway.
Virginia, what else on this subject?
Ellen,
what do you think is going to happen with Mr. Trump? I can't. It's hard for me to say President Trump. Sorry.
Well, I think it's going to have to back off, right? I mean, this narrative of
on this narrative, you know, I don't think there's anybody that doesn't believe it's just hyperbole.
Except him, maybe.
So maybe maybe he'll send somebody from state to state and they will learn that there is no voter fraud. And then maybe he'll have to accept it.
I'll leave the forecasting up to you two.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we're not used to forecasting here either. But
I predict snow.
You predict snow. Well, Virginia, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Yes, you clear up actually some real questions.
Well,
unlike
fake questions.
well, Ellen's like, what's the future of Donald Trump? It's not a fake question. It's just like a big one. A big one. Unanswerable.
I'm happy to be here. It's so nice to have a community radio station.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
I know.
It is.
Great.
Yeah.
And more importantly, they let schlubs like me on it. And graceful, wonderful people like Ellen.
Well, on balance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Somehow it comes out all right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, oil and water.
And thank you for the great job you do as commissioner.
Oh, you're welcome, Ellen. It's an honor to be able to do this. It's such an important job. And you know, so let me put in a plug for anybody that maybe hasn't thought about working for the election process, but could spare a couple hours here, a couple hours there.
Oh, it's fun. I like doing it.
Thank you for that. It's so important. We need, you know, hundreds of employees on Election Day, and then we need some employees beyond Election Day. Jason and I are always looking for more people to step up to do this. It is very rewarding. It can be a little bit tedious, but gosh, it's such an important thing to do, and I just love bringing new people into the process.
Can you bring a sandwich when you're sitting there?
Yeah.
Well, now that I'm not drinking, maybe I could do it, you know, because I needed that constant.
Oh, jeez.
But how many, like for an hour? Or is it 2 hours, 3 hours? What do people usually do?
Well, it depends on what job we're talking about. Oh. If we're talking about an inspector on Election Day.
Right.
On a primary day, a full day is 11 o'clock in the morning. In upstate counties like Columbia County, a primary day is 11 a.m. until about 10 p.m.
Oh, boy.
And typically one person will do that shift, but I also allow people to split the shift. So somebody could come on and do the first roughly half of the shift, and somebody could come on and do the second half of the shift.
That's perfect, Ellen. If I split it with my wife, I can spend an entire day without seeing her.
Oh, Tom.
Tom.
Just, oh, come on, Ellen.
Well, what am I going to do saying it? It's false news. I would just be saying wrong all the time.
I can just pretend I'm a mean guy.
Yeah.
You know I'm not.
Yeah.
We know you're not. Do we know that, Ellen?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
So it I really would encourage people who have any interest in the process to contact the Board of Elections. We are looking for more people. We can always use more people, and we can always use more people so we can split the shifts, as I just described. And on the general election day, in the November election, the day starts at 5 a.m. and goes till 10 p.m. So most of our inspectors work that entire day, but we do allow them to split that day up, and that's still a long day, even split.
You know, it's kind of like jury duty in the sense that if you go through the process, you know, I've been a poll watcher. I just I write down the name and it goes back to headquarters and all that kind of stuff. But it's very rewarding to see democracy in action, and it reminds you of how great the system really is. It really works.
It does really work.
I feel the same way about sitting on a jury. I'm always you know, you think people are saying, no, I don't want to stay the weekend. Let's make up our minds right now, you know. And that doesn't happen, in my experience, sitting on a jury.
I haven't been on a jury in a long time. That's great.
How many have you done, Ellen?
Oh, three or four.
Really?
In New York, not up here. Yeah. But no, one. I did one up here. But
conviction?
No, because I was only an alternate.
Oh.
And before they made the decision, they dismissed me.
Oh.
And I didn't even have a part in the decision.
I hope you didn't take it personally.
Yeah.
No. Don't you have that 12 Angry Men fantasy of being like, right. I'm going to stick to my guns and I'm going to convince the other 11.
Yeah, right, right.
Now, the other thing that I want to say about personnel and about elections is I'd love to see more people just come and watch the process if they don't feel that they can take part in it. Like I said, we do count the ballots transparently. We go through all the materials that come back from the poll sites bipartisanly. Everything is extremely secure. Everything is secured under bipartisan lock and key, so no one party can get to it. So the full process is something that I encourage anybody to watch, and I think they'd feel very good about it if they did that.
We're talking to Virginia Martin, who's the Democratic Commissioner for the Columbia County Board of Elections.
Right. It's
been
a pleasure.
With her office here in Hudson, New York.
Beautiful Hudson, New York.
401 State Street.
At 401 State Street in the county building.
With her own door on the side of the building.
That's
right. At least I feel it's your door.
It's my door. It's our door.
Well, thank you, Virginia.
You're very welcome, and thank you both.